right, let's have a word of prayer. We're going to read Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to be in your presence one more day, another opportunity to come out and fellowship with your people, with people that you died for. And then we can't forget that you died for us. And by you dying, Father God, you saved us. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you, mm-hmm. and we do all these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which he happened unto, excuse me, and that which had happened unto him. That's a good story. There's so much. I wanted to stop, and I don't like to stop when I read scripture too much. But I wanted you guys to really pay attention to some of the vivid illustrations that was in that scripture. Because here you see Peter and John. Really two opposites when you start talking about the apostles. But these were two that were in the inner circle. They were in Jesus' inner circle. Okay, when Jesus went in to do something, he only took usually John, Peter, James, okay? Really the big three. But you see them walking together into the temple, really, and again, they're living out Jesus' commandments. And you don't see this with the apostles because, again, they were going to do what Jesus told them to do. That's what an apostle did. That's what the disciples did. They were trained by Jesus, and they were only going to do what Jesus said to do. And when he sent them out how? Two by two. What else did he tell them this, that you see in this story? Something else you see in this story that he told them to do, and they're doing it. He said, don't take anything with you. Don't take no money with you. Nothing. Okay? So he basically, I'm going to take care of you. So you see that in verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together. Now that's interesting too. They were together. That means they were on one accord. Okay? That means they believed the same thing. They believed the same thing, and they both worshiped and praised God. Okay? It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, there's another interesting thing here. There's a lot of interesting things here in this scripture. Now, I know I like to dig, and sometimes my imagination get away with me. Just stop me if it does. I don't know where Claire's at. Okay, she usually stops me. But they're going up. And that's another key thing in this text. They're going up. Okay? This is the beautiful temple here. This is the beautiful temple here. And they're going up. The Bible says they're going up at the hour of prayer. There were 3 hours of prayer in the Jewish way of living. Okay? You had what? The third hour? 6th hour, and the 9th hour. 3rd hour being what time?
3 in the morning.
Sixth hour?
16.
Ninth hour?
9.
9. Okay. I think y'all close. Third hour, 9. Ninth hour, 3rd hour. Ninth hour, 3 o'clock. Third hour, 9 o'clock. Sixth hour, 12 noon. Okay? Is that what you said, Rhonda?
No.
You got everybody confused.
I thought it was 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, that's a watch. That's another story. You're on the same page, but that's another story. Okay, the 12 noon. Remember, Jesus hung on the cross what? Sixth hour. That's the hottest the heat of the day. That's when the woman from Samaria was at the well at what? The sixth hour. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. Okay? So.
The third hour is? 9 a.m.
Okay? Good. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. Now, there's a lot in there. And one of the things, it's always been a tradition that church services had a time schedule. Okay? That's some of the things you pull from this. But another thing is, it's good to go to the temple. It's good to go to the house of prayer. David said what?
I was glad
when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And he probably went at one of these hours of prayer. David might have went all 3 of them. Okay, the woman, the prophetess Anna was at the temple at the synagogue all day, really means she was there every time they opened for prayer. She was there. Maybe as an usher, maybe as a deaconess, and I think there probably was a deaconess, but she was always there when the doors were open of the church. Usually I'm here. Okay? Deacon Oliver's here, and certain members are always here when the doors open of the church. And that's a good thing. That the God has given them the desire and the ability and the schedule that they can do certain things like that. Some of us aren't able to do that for different reasons. Schedules, work, kids, children, all types of things. But if you can, it's a good thing to be in God's house. Now, verse number 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Now, that's interesting, too. A lame man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Now, you see the same flow in the book of Acts. Acts is another real theatrical book, real vivid, real almost trying to break it, almost comes to life as you read it. Okay, it's the history of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, here's a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Now, what's the point? What's the writer of Acts, which is Luke, trying to say here?
That he never walked.
He never walked. Say that. He was always lame. Okay? See, there are a whole lot of folks out here claiming to do miracles and stuff. But the Word of God is trying to make sure we understand that this man wasn't lame. Okay? You have some of these healing services today, where they had to, on 2020, not too long, they had the beggars outside. They was outside begging. And then the lady, she had the things all up her elbow, them little steel things that go up your elbow, and she walking around with a little can on and getting money. And then they followed her. And they followed her into the club that night. Hey, I'm serious. They had, did anybody see that other than me?
At our job, right there at GE on Hughes Street, a man used to sit out there selling them. No lady. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I happened to see that man somewhere else. He was sugar shy.
And had legs.
With his legs on.
Okay.
Yeah, but when he got ready to beg, he
took his legs off. Yeah. Okay. So that happened. I had another lady out there doing the same thing. They followed these beggars. Mm-hmm. And they followed them, and the other lady was out there begging all day, and her boyfriend came and picked her up in a Mercedes Benz. Okay. Roy, you been to New Orleans? Okay, in New Orleans, you have to have a license to beg. If you ever notice, you go to New Orleans, you walk out of Walmart, a beggar can only beg you change for 60 feet. And then they just stop because they got a marker there. And the beggar, you walk out of Walmart, change. And then as soon as you get here, they stop because that's as far as they can beg. Mm-hmm. And they've been beggars in New Orleans, they make $78,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Begging.
And they play music.
Whatever. You know what
I try to tell my boys that. I said, listen, I try to tell them, I said, listen, this is America. You can make money doing whatever you're good at. Now, I would take Brady to New Orleans when he get off.
he's a good banger. He come home in a big old Mercedes Benz. What you doing down in New Orleans? I got my begging license. Ray don't listen to my sermon, so I ain't worried about it. So a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried.
Now, stop. You gotta learn to stop with these scriptures because he makes so much sense. Here's a man. Y'all think about this. Here's a man lame from his mother's womb. Now, what is God trying to say here? This man has never had an income, never worked a day in his life. How in God's manner can you get people to carry you up to a temple? Now hold on. Go ahead. Somebody give me some feedback. What's happening here? Oh, Rhonda, you own it. You didn't get them hours right, but you got that right. He was making so much dough begging that he could afford to have people carry him around.
And he said, and they tell you that they laid him.
They laid
him. They put him in place.
Okay.
Claire. See, Claire, me and Claire are on the same page. Sometimes I'll be out there so far she tried to distance herself from me. You ever have people like that around you? I don't act like I don't know him. He's kind of crazy tonight. So, but I call her up on the phone and we talk. She's just a crazy guy. She tried to disassociate herself with me sometimes. Because I'll be way out there. But they laid him down. They took care of this man. Now, here's another point. Woman, don't miss this. I like one. You'll be a good church member. Jesus, sit there and look at you. She ain't going to sleep on me. Watch this. I'm going to sit here, my mind going, because I did all this study while I was taking my LGBTQI classes today. They laid him at the temple, which is called beautiful. Now, I'm going to look at my notes because I don't know what this one is. This is interesting. Now, this gate called beautiful. The temple had 8 doors that you can come in and worship. And each 7 of them doors was 45 feet high. The temple, the gate of beautiful was 75 feet high. And it faced the east. How many know what's important about it faced the east? This would have been where everybody wanted to go. Yeah. It faced the east because when Jesus left, it set at the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended. So this gate looked out to where Jesus ascended. But also it faced the Mount of Olives. So this gate beautiful was beautiful. And you got to understand, back then, people came to the temple. It was all about works. So they came there with their money. And the way you showed that you was paid back then was being pious and giving. So this dude here was a businessman. He was an entrepreneur. He going to sit at the gate. Whose gate would you rather sit at? Joe Osteen's gate or Christian Bible Baptist gate? Alright, if somebody don't lay you somewhere, where are they gonna lay you at? Where would you rather be laid? I'm gonna take you all inside, I'm gonna just lay you outside the door. Listen. Ain't nobody coming over here like that. Now if somebody lay you outside TD Jakes' door. That makes sense, don't it? Okay. That makes sense. Now y'all stay with me because this man, this beggar really was doing his hustling. Okay? He was hustling. Watch this. This is interesting.
You make everybody looking for him. Tony.
Leave me alone, Claire. Okay, that's good, ain't it? Okay, and he's asking alms. Alms is just donations. Okay? Change. He wasn't thinking. He really wasn't thinking about this day getting his feet right. Because, see, getting your feet right.
Gotta go to work.
See, I love my family. See, if you up here talking and you love your family, they come up in your illustration. Now, Ray, he got his boot on. Now, Ray done been golfing. Ray with the cedar point said, all day, rode every ride out there. With the boot on.
So I come home, I say, Ray, I mean, who gonna lock the kitchen floor? Well, I got this boot on.
I'm like, are you kidding me, right?
No, he wasn't. Mike ended up walking. That's the night. Who sent Peter and John? Now think about it. This man didn't know the Lord.
He didn't know that Jesus told Peter and John, don't take no money with you.
Because if you look at it today, in today's world, two preachers walk into church. They know that. Going to the temple, beautiful. You know, just think about it. I ain't going to keep nothing to T.D. Jason and Joel Osteen, but Rick Warren and Billy Graham. You figure they got some dough on them. So he pulls up on Peter and John and asks for alms. Verse 3. Who seeing Peter and John, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John. Now, there's a little bit into that word fasting. That means you locked in on somebody. It means you done figured them out. You done, you know, Roy ain't been in the prison business with me for a long time. You looking at somebody and you ain't right. Okay, you can look at them and you just, something about what you're doing ain't right. I know, I'm going to get a spin on that. Okay, hang in there with me, Claire. And John 2, they went to the temple together. They had something that I believe every man, at least every man of God, every minister, if you're a minister, if you're in a leadership position in church, one thing I believe you must have. Discernment. Discernment. I'm going to say, what is discernment? The ability to know right from wrong, good from better, and better from best. Okay? I think you need to have that ability if you're in leadership. You need to be able to look at a situation and say, something wrong with that. I think God gives you that. I think God gives you that when you study God's word and you pray and you fellowship and I believe God gives you discernment. Okay? I just don't believe preachers being tricked. You know? I just don't believe, you know, you come in here and trick the preachers up. Okay? If you got discernment, you see there's something wrong there. Okay? Peter and John looking at this man, verse number 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. What is he doing?
Direct contact.
Well, I mean, I was brought up with a man in the eye. He's talking to me. Listen. Back in the day when they ran the court system back in the day, they take a sword. You came before the judge, put a sword right here. They put that sword right here. I think one of the problems they talk about it. And you got to look at the man, judge, right in the eye, and you drop your head. You did. That's how they did back then. They put that sword on your chin. And if you look me in the eye, you gotta look that judge in the eye. You watch cases on TV where kids go before the judge or people go head back. What's that represent?
Wrong.
They guilty. You know it. All I gotta do is sit here and sit my kids down. Who is that? Who is that coolie on the floor? I know who did it. Okay. He was looking down. You asking for money, but you looking down. Shame. And then Peter and John, look at us. I just want one of this now. Okay? Okay, he was poor. He was born crippled. He was lame. Acts 4:22 says he was at least 42 years old. Been at this hustle a long time. Okay? Been at this hustle a long time. Now, they said, look on us. But did they not say? Okay, no, I'm talking about what the apostles, I mean, Peter and John didn't say, believe on us. They said, look on us. And again, by them saying that, that really speaks to all of us because these were God's closest people. These were Jesus' closest too. Peter was called to be the disciple to the Jews. Okay, his role, somebody said, well, Peter's only talking in this verse, in this scripture. But Peter was called by God to be the spokesperson, to be the apostle to the Jews. Okay? So he's in charge here,
And he's talking to this man, and again, Claire hit it best. Don't take me out of my hustle. I think he realized he was found out. The message was that these apostles was doing, they knew. They knew God was healing. They knew that these apostles had the power to heal. Maybe he didn't recognize them right away when they came, but when they fastened their eyes on him, he put his head out, oh Lord. Okay, my hustle days is over. I've been found out. Watch what happens here. And he gave heed unto them. Now Peter and John said, look up on us. Look at us. Okay? Not believe on us, but look on us. So I say, who do they represent? Jesus. They represented Christ. Jesus Christ spoke person. These people had the power of God. The power of God to heal and to perform was still active in the book of Acts. And Peter and John had it. And this man gave heed unto them, verse 5, expecting to receive something of them. That's an interesting play of words, too. He knew he was getting something this day. He had the right one. Now, he didn't know what he was doing. I don't think he knew. I know he didn't know that he was going to get healed. Okay? He didn't know. He didn't know. And he wasn't asking for a healing. Okay? He wasn't asking for a healing. Remember the story of the man that they lowered through the roof. And Mark talks about it in Mark chapter 2. And Luke talks about it. And the Word of God says in Luke that the power to heal was present. No, first you got healed. And that's the man that came to the room. All the other folks, the power to heal was there. When Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, the power to heal was there, but only her. That's what Jesus said, who touched me? Everybody was touching her, but they didn't want to get healed. They just wanted to touch him.
That's when the priest said, four of a kind be the fool.
Four of a kind be the fool. That's right. Don't tell our gambler folks. They know that. Okay, here we go. Verse 5. And he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. And now Peter just eliminates. He eliminates the whole idea you get some money from us. Okay? We don't have it. Okay? We don't have it. He said in verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Okay? Following perfectly, following Jesus' plan. You would thought. You know, Jesus is off the scene now. He's gone on to heaven. These apostles, you know, could go out there. What was that? Gehazi? Remember Gehazi? And Gehazi. And it was it Elijah? Elijah. Elijah had healed Naaman the leper. And Naaman the leper wanted to give Elijah son. Elijah, I don't want nothing. So, him and Gehazi was Elijah's sidekick, his little armor bearer or whatever. So he falls, they say, we don't want none. They take off. Well, Gehazi doubles back. Goes to Elijah and say, he changed his mind, give us that money. He took that money. Mm-hmm. And the prophet of God knew he took it. And we know the rest of the story, that the leper ended up on Gehazi. See, true prophet, true man of God. You know, I see this all the time. You know, you go preaching at conferences, and you go to these workshops, and $15, $100, $20. Where'd that come from? Okay? Charging folks. Peter says, we don't want none of
this. Elijah too said, I was there with you in the spirit. So you have the spirit of discernment too when you're a man.
That's right. He knew what Gehazi was thinking all along. Okay? He wanted that money. Even when Naaman said, listen, let me give you something. He's probably saying, Gehazi probably like, listen, for the love of money is root of all evil. I listen to a preacher preach one of the greatest messages. You ever want to hear a great message on money? It's about the greed of gold. He said, if a man, he's talking about a preacher, he said, if a preacher loves money, he will never love a congregation because he will do anything for money. And he'll leave that congregation. As soon as that another church can offer him $50 more a week, he will leave that church. You ain't never heard no preacher leaving a church going to a small one. Rare. I ain't okay if it's possible. I'm pretty sure it happens. But rare, if a person comes to this church, man, I hear that brother over there on the east side preaching good. Bring him down to our church, and if he's going to double what he gets, that wouldn't be much. We double what he's getting, triple what he's getting over there preaching about that. We don't even pay another, they ain't got no musician. Much as I love y'all. Satan's going to make me think about it.
Now I'm going to do it. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. Because I can take a lot of work.
We'll leave that subject alone. That's me. Much leadership in here.
They take a day, I take a week off, and they'd be like, oh, you must be preaching somewhere.
Do we threaten
fire? I know. Y'all with me? Let me get back on pace track here. Right? I get on rabbit trail real bad, Rhonda, and I'll be all up in left field. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I just said it right.
What did Peter have? Power of God. He has the power of God. Remember when we said yesterday, no matter when the power of God show up, when the power of God show up, something will happen. Either you're going to run or you're going to get saved. In this person's condition, he couldn't run. He couldn't go nowhere. The pigs took off. Okay? And them shepherds that were watching the pigs, brother, they took off too because they see the power of God. And I think that's what we've seen all the way through all these studies. The power of God was on full display. And in the name of Jesus, I'm still in verse 6. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's a key.
Amen.
Who did blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, 46, who did he call?
That
son of David. Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? Don't miss this. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 7. A little while longer. Jesus said, Peter said, rise up and walk. What happened there? Remember when Lot, when the angels came to Lot's house, and all the homosexuals and Sodom was trying to get at him, and then he had told Lot, he said, you know, y'all gotta get out of here. And he had to do what? With Lot and his wife and his kids, he had to do what? Take them out of hand. Because they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go. He asked this man. He told this man. He gave this man a command. Okay? And in the name of Jesus, Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why did he have to take this man by the hand? Why?
Maybe he didn't
want
to walk.
Say that.
Maybe he didn't
want to
walk.
He didn't want to walk. I'm making money.
Yeah.
This is a good day.
Yeah.
This is a good day. Okay? Say that. He never walked before.
He didn't try.
Faith is an action word. Okay? Peter had never walked on water. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. Peter, just start walking. This man didn't try. Listen. What's that? Talk to me, Evelina, because I hear you. I'm going to hear it. Huh? Holy, if you come back, tell it. Seriously, I love feedback in a class like this because it's good. It's good. Because you get that common sense. Okay? Because I'm just telling you, I'm going to say, he didn't want it. Good. He might have wanted to. Watch this. He don't have no choice in a minute. He don't have no choice. Because when you study these words that the Bible uses, he had no choice. Okay? Because he got a command in the name of Jesus to rise up and walk, and he took him by the right hand. Okay? And that's Peter's plan. And you go to Mark chapter 2 when Peter's mother was sick, his mother-in-law was sick, took her by the right hand, rose her up. You go to Acts chapter 9 when Dorcas was sick, took her by the right hand, rise her up. You go when Peter and John was in the inner circle with Jesus, when they went and raised Jairus' daughter, took her by the right hand, raised her up. He was just following God's model. That's all he was doing. Watch this. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. That word took. I mean, he grabbed hold of him. He didn't, this wasn't just him. He latched on to this man and basically yanked him to his feet. That's really what it's saying. That's really what it's saying. Y'all just research on this. Don't let no preacher tell you anything. And he lifted him up
And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The word. When you study this in the Greek, that word immediately means that it was almost like the feet was woken out of a deep sleep. Okay? That's how I was explained when I started reading it. It was like his feet was awakened. And you know, how startled you are? If you woke in the middle of the night, okay? They just jumped up. Okay, like a gun went off in the room. And then he just jumped to his feet. Shocked the man, surprised the man. And you can read the rest of it. And it said that immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now that had to be, like I said, you figure a guy ain't walked in 40 years. What's that called? Empathy? Had to sit in? Probably his feet was probably withered away, like a man with a withered hand, and they probably had no strength in them. You know, you ever talk to somebody who had a stroke, and after years, that whole side, that arm, everything, this man was in bad shape. 42 years he had been laying for his mother's womb. Damn.
That's why he had to grab, because he didn't believe that he
had power. Absolutely. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. But faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? What did he hear? He heard the word of God. Peter didn't say, I'm telling you to rise up. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's important. Okay? Peter was coming in his own strength. And the man might not have caught all that. Peter was saying, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's important. That's important. Because we don't have, as men, we don't have a guard. If the gift of healing is still in existence, it's still going to be in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
You said if. What you mean?
If.
What you mean if?
Yeah, that's it.
You don't think it's still healing? You don't think it's still healing going on?
What kind of healing?
What kind of healing?
Yeah. I mean, every time somebody needs a hospital, I think they can heal. Every time somebody needs a hospital. But you know, you have these miracle services all over the country. Now you have miracle services all over the country. And they'll tell you. Okay, we ain't doing no serious stuff. We just having a good time. It's just entertainment. Really what a lot of what they say is just we just doing it, we're gonna have singing and dancing, they're having a good time, but you know, don't come in here if you've been in a wheelchair for 20 years. We ain't doing that. Okay? We doing headaches and sinuses. Ear infections and backaches. We ain't doing no cripples and people have been born. Don't bring the Easter seal sinner here.
No miracle.
Okay, we ain't doing that like Jesus did. We just have to, you know, if you got like a headache, we do headaches. Yeah, that's all. We have a good time. And you're going to feel better. But don't get off your medication. And you want high blood pressure. I remember my brother. I'm like, deliver from high blood pressure. Big old brother. Big old dark skinned brother. And I'm sitting in there, I'm like, please don't start, stop taking your medication. They call that the sign of killer. They call high blood pressure the sign of killer. Okay, because you know you'll feel better. Okay, and you should feel better when you leave church. If you come to church and pastor preaching and you around other believers and I feel better, I feel like I was healed. A good pastor just took your medication. The pastor ain't gonna say, well, you know, you heal, stop taking the medication, stop taking them blood thinners and stuff. People get healed, and when Jesus healed folks, they didn't have to take no Coumadin. Okay? they didn't have to get a prescription to write in, go to therapy for 3 weeks. None of this text, this man ain't had no therapy. So if we get healed, we're going to therapy, you gotta work that leg out. You know, I know you've been delivered, but you gotta go to therapy, you know, and do some crutches and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's the point, Ron. I really think that's the point of him really explaining that this man really, really had a serious illness. Seriously, he was seriously lame. Okay? He was crippled. Okay? He was crippled. And when Jesus, a Jew, don't believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Jews didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody killed him. So when Peter said, he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that's why I ain't get up. I don't believe that. I'm a Jew. We don't believe Jesus came. We don't believe that when Jesus on the cross and died. Because Jesus had already died by then. Everybody would have known what had happened in Jerusalem. So when he said Jesus of Nazareth, the man
man probably hesitated. Peter, lift him up. Let's finish this story. And verse number 8, and he, leaping up, stood. Okay? See, he felt the power and the strength going back to his ankles and bones. Listen, everybody got healed. And I think this is what we were talking about yesterday. Every time the power of God showed up, God demanded that it be put on display for the people. Okay? You think about it. You talk about yesterday, the lunatic. And they came, the people came back. What was he doing? Sitting and clothed and calm in his right mind. Okay? We talk about the man that goes through the roof. If you turn to Mark chapter 2 real quick. If you turn to Mark chapter 2, this is really a great story. Mark chapter 2, verse 9. It says, they questioned Jesus. Now they know he the Lord is through the roof, and they questioned Jesus. And Jesus said to them in verse number 9 of Mark 2, whether it is easier to say to the sick of all of thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know. Right? That's the key. That's why Jesus ran the pigs, and that's why Jesus did all that. He wanted everybody in that area to know. Everybody got to read. He knew the power of God was there. And here's what Jesus is doing with this crowd. This is a big crowd. Remember, this was a big crowd. Because they couldn't get through the door, they couldn't get through the window, they had to cut a hole in the roof. But Jesus said in verse number 10, this is for us. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. Now, what's going to happen? He's going to put on the show. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And let me say this. Being amazed don't save you. Okay? And you can see all the miracles and you want to. And they seen them in John 6. They seen all the miracles. And then you got John 6, 6. And Jesus said, listen, y'all follow me for the wrong reason. And he turned and said, you're going to follow me. But eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Bible said, hey, follow him no more. Why? Because he raised the standard. And see, what the church do today, get a big crowd. You want to keep your crowd. So what we do is lower the standard. Jesus raised the standard. And they say, that's a hard thing. Who can do that? And the Bible said, hey, follow him no more. And that ain't happening today. We lower the standard. Okay? And you get a couple, that didn't want to matter. You can fill the church up pedophiles and then it's is going to be at work. He's talking, man, I had a crowd today.
Okay, well, what about the pedophiles? Don't you think
they can
get saved?
Yeah, they can get saved. Go to 1 Corinthians 6:9 and let them tell you. Yeah. Some, some of you. Pedophiles can be saved, but you don't save from what? See? They don't have no wrong with them. Right. Okay, now they're coming out with new stuff saying it's not a crime. It's not a crime to rape a child. You born with that, just like you born with attraction. If a woman born with a natural attraction to a woman, why can't a man be born with a natural attraction to little kids? That's the whole homosexual agenda. That's the whole homosexual agenda. You know, people, somebody said to me yesterday, well, you're going to be upset when they legalized same-sex marriage. No, they legalized same-sex marriage 20 years ago. When it first came out. This is a fallen world we live in. Ain't nobody going to stop that. The real thing they want to do is make it legal to be in a relationship with a little kid. If you study true pedophilia, people pay $200,000-$400,000 to go to these foreign countries and spend a weekend with a kid. Michael Jackson was doing that stuff. And if you get these businessmen, you'll be surprised. They fly over to Pakistan and they spend a weekend with these little kids. 8-year-old boys, grown men, 6 to 7 year old, like me and Roy, going to Pakistan for a weekend. See, you know, and that's where it's going. It's a sick world. See, we live in a sick world. We live in a sick world. And that's where it's going. That's the next step. I got an article I read through the church a couple weeks ago. The psychologist came out that, you know, it's a disease. Okay? It's not a crime, it's a disease. You're born that way. That's right. That's the way of the world. Listen. Still going back. Ronda, see, Ronda can be off track. Go ahead, Ronda.
don't know. You a nurse. You should know that.
Right. I mean, in spiritual, I think you may be born with two of the same parts, but you're going to have other parts that's gonna define who you are. Okay, if you're born, you got two penises. Okay?
Well, no, you might have
one of each.
One of each.
Okay, you got one of each?
Right.
But you're going to have, your other parts of your body going to be either male or female.
Now, if you're born with penis and a vagina, and one side of your chest got a breast, and the other side is all muscle like arms, and you're probably really confused.
But still, I mean, I don't know if you can identify. You can't say chemistry in their body is saying something else.
Yeah, and you know what? I understand that.
And then your hormones is saying something else.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do?
It's like you do with the little girl who I learned about today who thought when she was 3 years old, she said, I don't want to be a girl. So her mother started giving her, when she was 12, 13 years old, started giving her estrogen and all that stuff. And then finally, you know, when did all that, changed her all the way over, you know.
So, but when those people, like if you pick, okay, I want my daughter or I want this kid to be a girl.
Right.
And then they grow up, they know women. I mean, really, can you blame those ones? Because you don't know what's up, how do you want hormones to lead them?
I don't know.
They look like this, but they were born with two parts, so you choose as a parent.
For me, like you said, you're going to favor one and not the other. Whichever one you choose, that's what you're going to be.
Yeah. Hold that thought. I'm trying to put this sermon online. We'll talk about that afterwards. That's a good question. Yeah. Okay? Now, really going back, we talk about the lunatic, we talk about the man with the palsy, we talk about the man born blind. Still, when he decided, what he started doing? Glorifying God. Glorifying God. What about the woman with the issue of love? We talk about her all the time. When she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she tried to get away. She felt her body was healed, and she tried to get away, but she said, wait a minute, somebody touched me. And Peter said, how do we know who touched you? Everybody touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me with faith. Okay, because I felt, what, virtue leave out of my body. And Jesus made her make a public confession that God had blessed her. That's always been God's way. Okay, that's one of the things we do as Baptists when people come up to the church, because that's where that comes from, to, you know, and make a public confession that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to be a part of this church. That's the roots of that. Okay? So, here we have this man, he's leaping. The Bible says in Acts, going back to Acts, hit me with that one.
Sorry.
That's good.
I was just thinking about
that. That is something to think about.
And you were saying, I'm like,
okay. Look at verse 8 in this. Acts 3. And he leaping up, stood and walked. He stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Amen. Listen, if God has blessed you, God has healed you, God has delivered you, God has saved you, you want to go to the house of God. This is what David, when he was in the wilderness, he couldn't wait to get back out to the house of God. He said, I was glad when he said, let us what? Go to the house of the Lord. And that's throughout the scripture. Everyone that God healed wanted to spend time in the house of God, among God's people, because, again, you want to give God his glory and his praise that he deserves, because we're not saving ourselves. So again, when you look at this text in verse number 8, he leaped up, stood, probably checking everything out, okay, and walked in 42 years. He ain't never walked. Okay, think about the man in John 9, the blind man, never seen before. Why did Jesus tell him, go to the pool of Siloam? He didn't heal around the spot. He walked this man from the spot he was at to the pool of Siloam, washed his eyes, came back seeing. And everybody's like, Is it him? Yeah, it's me. Why? Because he wanted to get God has to get his glory. Yeah. He has to get his glory. So we see in verse 8, he leaping up, stood and walked. Probably walked around.
Okay, walked around, checking things out, letting everybody know, hey, what's going to happen here? The power of God has been on, was displayed in me, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, by just hopping up and down. Okay? Like that old Toyota commercial. You know, this old school name. Y'all remember that old Toyota commercial? They jump up, kick the heels, and don't remember that. You remember. I know you remember. Okay. I and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people. That's interesting. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Wait a minute. All the people. Big crowd here. Because Peter's getting ready to preach. If you keep on reading, he's getting ready to preach. He's getting ready to preach to 3,000 people getting ready to get saved. Okay? He's getting ready to preach to a big crowd because they've seen God do a miracle. And this is why, when you sit here, Robert, now you made your comment. You know, you don't believe in miracles. Yet. God used miracles and gave the apostles the ability to do miracles to authenticate the power of God with these men. Okay? Listen to them. And that was done until the word of God was written. Okay? You'd be hard pressed to find folks doing miracles like this now. Okay? And I'm not saying that God won't. I'm not saying, you know, people say, well, you know, I got a report. I had cancer. I went back and I didn't have any cancer. Okay? That's not nearly like what you're talking about here. Okay. And you go down to Eastern Steel Center, you see some of the folks in the wheelchair, they got tubes in their mouth, and they sit in a chair like this, and then they ain't no preachers going down there. Okay? Now, I was talking to my wife, her sister, pastor, called himself an apostle, and her mother was sick in the hospital, dying, and he went up to pray for her. And the first thing I said, well, if the apostle went up there and prayed for her, why is she still in the hospital? Me. That's my thinking on that because you know I figure if an apostle come visit me, I'm going home today. If it's a you know, and they call themselves apostles, you gotta be careful. You know, you gotta be careful because there's a lot of folks out there calling themselves apostles and prophets and stuff. But they have power. They do stuff. They do stuff. That's right. So me and I just have to be careful. I think Jesus goes to great lengths. The Word of God goes to great lengths. Let you know this is a serious. This was a serious illness this man had. He was lame from birth. This was not hocus pocus. And a lot of people get, you know, get their emotions played with and the preachers doing some things because they draw a crowd. Miracles have always drawn a crowd. So if you try to draw a crowd, you try to make money, you're going to have a miracle here in service. Okay? And we can do it. If I could get y'all to go to a foreign land and y'all just sit out in the crowd, and everybody's going to get the money because I'm getting paid. Okay? And Evelyn, you know, you come in and. Okay, Roy come in. You don't sit with Roy, you sit over there. Roy come in, and I see him, and I. Praise the Lord, Roy, come up and. And the people there, all the money starts flowing, and I come over there, and the Blanche come in, and she, I ain't been able to move my arm in a month. Touch that arm, Blanche, you're like, woo! You've seen that before, because these missionaries, a lot of these missionaries go to Africa and do that stuff. And they make money. What are they doing? What are they doing, honestly? I'm not saying this is always. Where are you looking at me sideways? But it happens. And you know, and really what it is, because I said that yesterday, church folks, saved folks give. They don't have no choice. They're just loving and kind and giving. And preacher's going to take a coffin in that corner. When I leave, read the books coming in here, and they're going to devour the flock.
I have a cousin like that in Baltimore. She's an apostle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your back trip go out again, just all you got to do is tell that lady to drive you to Baltimore. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I was an apostle, I'll be honest with y'all. If I was an apostle, the Cavs would have won the championship. Because when I see Kyrie go down, I'm sitting on the sideline. Come here, boy. Touch that knee. Get back in the game.
Okay? Kevin Love to come out and that dislocated shoulder. Apostle Neil, come on here, boy. Boom! Get back in there. Think about the money that a trainer would make if he had to get to healing for a professional football team. Think about that.
Okay, look, Paul, he had the gift of healing, and he didn't heal 10 feet.
That's right.
No problem. So, and this another one just follows me.
Epaphroditus. But what did that say?
No, it's Paul, what Paul's saying, the gift of healing has ceased from operation.
That's how most expositors would teach that. That when Paul couldn't, Paul had a serious disease. He went to the Lord, what? Twice? Three times? He said, my grace is sufficient. After God was sick, almost to death, Paul didn't heal. You go through the Bible. Okay? So, you know, and again, that's different ways of thinking. I'm of the belief that the gift of healing has ceased in the sense that the power of God to heal someone, because I'm in the hospitals. I go to the fourth floor of St. Eve, and I see all that. And you know what? There's some folks dying with money. Okay, they get you on Oprah if you step in there and heal them. Okay? I'm pretty sure, you know, you go down to South Carolina, there's some prophets down there, some apostles too. And all the folks got shot out of this thing, got to die. That apostle, member of the church. Where was that person at? If he was an apostle, there was an apostle down there. Okay? That was Church of God in Christ. They probably had an apostle at that church, Wayne. Oh, there's a shooting at the church. The apostle's going to be the first one there. Be damn like, get up. I know that's.
Or just like you said, for certain people. Like you said, remember when Jesus said, he said, there was plenty of lepers in Israel at the time, and only Nathan got healed.
Yeah.
There was plenty of women.
Right. See, right now, Benny Hinn, dying of, he just had a heart attack. Benny Hinn? Yeah, he had a massive heart attack.
And he
couldn't heal himself. And that's what the word of God said, probably healed himself. Benny Hinn have all these healings all over, charge you money to get in. And he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Okay?
He took my daughter, you know, she had lost her eyesight, and we took her up to that Benny Hinn healing. And I mean, we were way up top. The Lord helped me get all the way down there. And they was looking right at us, and they knew what was going on, and they avoided her.
They wasn't doing blind eyesight.
They were asking for $1,000.
Yeah, they wasn't doing eyesight.
No,
they had one up at Victory a couple years ago, and Dave tells the story. His brother took his, you know, his brother had a best friend that was blind. Took him up right up there to Victory, and you know, and they was having a healing service, and they took him up to the front. They set out for 6 hours waiting to get in, and they took him up there and said, well, we ain't doing that. So I don't think it's that kind of game, and I think the Lord is really saying that you have to be careful because you can hurt some people. You can hurt some people with that. So,
and then you often say, what are you going to do with the time that he's given you, the extra time, or if you're going to see what you're going to do with it?
Yeah. And I think if you go to the Word of God, I think I'll declare, because there's really, in the Word of God, you think about the people that God did heal. You think about Ezekiel, and he took his resume to the Lord. He said, I've been faithful, I've been a servant, I've done this. We take it, folks. They won't be healed. I question myself. Folks said, ain't never been to church. They ain't never been to church. You know, why would God heal you? If you go back out and serve the devil some more. Is God going to heal his enemies? That's just a sidebar. Okay? Now watch this, Ron, as we close. Verse 10. Now, verse 10. And it's important that we really examine the scriptures. I don't want to sit here and play games with people. I know I like to have fun and I like to preach and I like to laugh a little bit. But verse number 10, I want y'all to see it. I'm going to take a real good look at it. See if you see what I see. And it's really in the first couple words. Because it lets you know that this wasn't a game. Okay? You see it clear? It says, verse 10, and they knew, verse 10, Acts chapter 3, verse 10, and they knew that it was he which set for arm at the beautiful gate of the temple. What they said is, they had knowledge that it was him that had been sitting here for 42 years lame. Okay? Really what they said, it was truly a miracle that these apostles had performed, and that elevated them into the next chapter where the crowd gathered and they gave him a visit. But every time Jesus performed a healing, he preached the gospel. And he didn't perform healing just for nothing. He healed this man, and God used it to draw people. And this might be seen as a lunatic. He delivered this man, cast some pigs down the cliff. The people fled from their people. They all came back. He gave them the gospel. They said, get this man out of here. We don't want to change. And a lot of people like that. And don't get me wrong, listen. I pass trucks every day. I don't know how many of them drivers sleep. Okay? I'm not discounting miracles. I'm not discounting that God is still covering us with his grace and his mercy. Okay? I'm not discounting that. But when we start talking about this type of healing, and I think the word of God clearly explains it, with the lunatic, with the woman with the issue of blood, with the man with the palsy, he's saying, this is your stuff. Okay? And then, you know, even if you are healed, you still want to sit down. Everybody did Jesus healed dead. So what's the real point of getting a healing? To stay in this wretched world? If you know the Lord and you saved, then that's the greatest miracle that God can perform. If you saved, you know the Lord, like we said earlier in the week, you know you ain't going to hell, you know you're going to heaven. What do you got to lose? All that happens for the body is what? Present with the Lord. So what you worried about dying for? Why you want to be healed anyway? Stay down here some more? Maybe it's the Browns here. That's why me and Roy don't want to die this year. But we think the Browns will win it all this year. So you know, we don't sit here and say, listen, Lord, give me one more year. But I think McCown is the real deal. Okay, so truly though, what we got to lose? If all of us die tonight, that's what I think. What are the folks in North Carolina, South Carolina worried about? Them same folks all the church, they're going to heaven. What are they worried about? Okay? Well, I mean, if I had to die anywhere, I want to die right here. I want to die right now with God. All of them. But I want to stay here. You think the people in South Carolina want to come back? Okay? See, we watch all dogs go to heaven. See, as we watch all dogs go to heaven, and then the one dog went to heaven. He didn't like heaven. He had a girlfriend down, and they needed a dog to go back, and he went back. And that's so false. Nobody leaving heaven. I'm not. Okay. Even I don't care how much I love y'all, and how much I love my wife and kids. Listen, you came but a day behind me. That's right.
Yeah, we got
something
else for you to do. You just can't.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So my work is over. It's time to go.
I told him we stood at the time clock. And you know how you stand waiting to punch out? Because your work is done. You get to go home.
You get to go home.
You ready. You didn't work that shift.
Yeah.
See? You want to go home.
See, we going to heaven feet first. We going to heaven feet first. Know why? We hold on them big screen TVs and we got all our stuff. Okay, let me turn this off. I'm already in.